in verse 1. Everybody say the word of God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there..." Everybody say, God said. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Verse 6, "And God said..." Everybody say, God said.
God said.
Say, the word of God.
The word of God
went forth and said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after its kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after its kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and the beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and the cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God said, and God saw that it was good. We see a picture here of that begins with nothingness. It begins with something that's null and void. It begins with something that's darkness. It begins with something that depicts there being utter chaos in the atmosphere. No plant life, no animal life, nothing existing. Chaos all around. No humanity, nobody to rule anything. But the scripture begins, the chapter begins by saying, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now, we know today that God is a spirit. At this point in time, he was a spirit. A spirit doesn't have a bodily form. God wasn't walking about through the chaos like you and I walk about. God wasn't reaching out and touching things and drawing pictures and stencils, and he didn't have a clipboard or a whiteboard that he could sketch an idea on and say, you know what, I kind of like this, it looks good. He simply had his word. And the scripture said that he spoke that word into existence. He spoke that word, and the things that he spoke came into existence and began to be. He spoke into what was darkness, and as if somebody had flipped a switch and pulled circuits and placed a dimmer switch on the wall, what was darkness in that moment of time by a spoken word suddenly became light. Amen. And where waters covered the face of the earth, as though somebody reached down with an arm and grabbed a hold of water and began to separate it and reached down below water and began to pull up firmament and earth and terra and all these things and begin to separate water from land and begin to make all of these things happen. It was done by simply a spoken word. And this is why it's so difficult for scientists who believe in the process of evolution to wrap their head around creation, because they try with everything inside of them to explain a process. How something was created. It's why school teachers and college professors and even parents attempt to explain to kids how it is that we got here. How it is that that tree ended up in the front yard. How it is that the mountain we call Rainier exists today as it does. They try in a society of manufacturing. As time has passed on, people have become increasingly more aware of our ability as humanity to create things. To take nothing and create something out of it. All right. If you've ever had a chance, it's out there and available, but there's a show on Discovery Channel called How It's Made. Right. I'm intrigued by that. I love that. I love the process of manufacturing. I should have been a manufacturing engineer. I love that process. I love to see how things are created and how they come together. I love to see them take all those ingredients and begin to allow machines to put them into action, and then to see a little chocolate bar about that long and that big around come out on a belt and then be swallowed up by a vacuum and a piece of paper that's got a graphic on it and then placed into a box and stacked just perfectly and no human even touch it. I love that process, but that's what's led us to the place that we are today of people trying to explain how it is that the earth got here. Come on. As though some machine was dropped out of heaven. Yeah. I spent the first part of my career in the earth moving business. I understand what it means to move thousands of cubic yards of material. I understand the process and the time that it takes. There's just only so much time. I mean, you think about it. To just break it down into mere human form for us. If you want to move, let's say you want to move 1 million cubic yards of dirt. I don't even know what that equates to. Mount Rainier may be 20 million cubic yards. I don't know. But if you wanted to move 1 million cubic yards of dirt, everybody know what a cubic yard is. If you wanted to move 1 million of those, an average machine, an average excavation machine in the construction industry, it's common knowledge that that machine can by itself with one operator and as many dump trucks as you can feed it can move between 60 and 80 cubic yards per hour. That's just the reality. Machines only move so fast. They're hydraulics. That man operating is only so good. But if you found the best equipment operator that you could find and you had as many dump trucks lined up behind him that he could just turn and dump into, and as fast as one was leaving, he could swing his bucket back over and continue to fill them up. The maximum he could do was maybe 100 cubic yards an hour. And so scientists look at all these facts, and they look at where we are today in the earth as it exists from the beginning of time when God created the heaven and the earth, and they just can't wrap their head around the fact that all this is here by the spoken word. By the spoken word. No machines, no humans, no animals, no processes. He just said, son, you're going to rule the day, and it happened. Moon, you're going to rule the night, and it happened. Oh, and we want some stars to litter the sky, and by his words, he flung them into existence, and they just became. They didn't develop over the process of time. They didn't evolve over the process of time. And then you get to mankind, humanity, and all of our complexity of just even our nervous system, our bloodstream, our organs, and then our personalities. And to think that he personally formed man in the dust of the ground. In his own breath, the same breath that was breathed when he said, let there be light. You know, you have to talk. To be able to talk, you have to breathe. I gave a guy the Heimlich mover the other day in my office. It saved his life. I've never done it before. I didn't even really. I learned like in Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts back in like 1988. I walked up into a cubicle, and there was a man who tapped me on the shoulder and was like, ah, 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 ah. He couldn't talk because he couldn't breathe. That same breath that was expelled when he said, let there be light, was the same breath that he breathed into man, and man became a living soul. Are you following me? This is why it's so hard for humanity. It's why it's so hard for scientists to wrap their head around this idea of creation. That God spoke and it happened. Because in order to believe in creation, you have to believe in the power of the spoken word. You got to have a revelation of the power of the spoken word. Anybody here got a revelation of the power of the spoken word? And that same spoken word that was in progress, and it was in action in the beginning of time and creation, is still just as active as it was at creation as it is today. If you were here on Monday night, Bishop taught a lesson about the spoken word, about the power of utterance that comes from spending time in the Spirit, the same Spirit. It said, let there be light. Right. It was an utterance. And when I, as humanity, who began by that same breath being breathed into me, when I give way and spend time in his Spirit, allow his Spirit to be prayed through me. Mm-hmm. And that inspiration comes. Robert, I want you to talk to that person. That spoken word begins to put something into motion, just like his spoken word separated light from dark and separated earth from water. My spoken word, by the nudging of his Spirit and the utterance that I give way to, begins to set things in motion that humanity can't set up like pawns on a chessboard. People in Christianity and spirituality attempt to try to organize things and set things up and create the dream team and the leadership team, and they try to put all these things together and create all these processes to try to perfect something that he intended to be set in order by the spoken word of God. I'm telling you. My human abilities pale in comparison to the power of the spoken word. I can't get smart enough. I can't get enough education. I can't read enough books. I can't empower myself enough to become more powerful than the utterance of a spoken word of God.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Come on.
Now, John chapter 1. Everybody say the word.
The word.
This was the word. We agree this is the word. John chapter 1 now. in the beginning. Wow, those are familiar words. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. See, here's when I was sitting here and Brother Kendrick was talking this morning. When he opened up talking about Christmas. Christians. Christ-like. I don't know if you put all that together like I did. I begin to realize this is what we're celebrating. We talk about our Savior is born. He's our Savior. He is. We talk about the messianic prophecies. For unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And all that excites me. It ought to excite you. Because that's what we're celebrating. That's why we're here. Every day I walk by the entryway of our house, and my wife's got that little nativity set up there, I'm reminded that that's the fulfillment of the prophecy from Isaiah. That's the son. Every time Hadley walks by and she says, baby Jesus, that's the fulfillment. She's learning from 23 months old on. That's the fulfillment of the prophecy. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. He was the one they were waiting for. Some got it, some didn't. And all of that's great. But I celebrate today even more than him being my Savior. Because I'm afraid some of us get caught up in that. He is our Savior. I'm not downplaying that. He saved my soul. Somebody ought to thank him right now for saving your soul. Come on, you know where he found you at. You know the mess your life was in. You know where you'd be today. Only you know if he hadn't saved you. He's my Lord. I trust you've made him Lord today of your life. You've declared him Lord of your life today. But here we are in John 1. And we read in the beginning was the Word. The same was in the beginning. Verse 3, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. Because, see, darkness had ruled and reigned until the spoken word came. It wasn't the light that confused the darkness as much as it was as the voice that spoke the light into existence. The darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came into his own and his own received him not. Verse 12 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And here in verse 14 is what we celebrate. And the Word, the same Word in Genesis chapter 1, when God said, let there be light, just a spirit form. There was no humanity. There was no form. Just a spirit, a voice. Let there be light. I don't know how audible it was. I don't know how silent it was. I wasn't there. But there was a word that was spoken. Whether silent, whether in just mere whisper, let there be light. I knew it wasn't thought because the word said, and God said. He spoke it. And when he said it, it began to happen. That word, the word that spoke things into existence, became flesh. It was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" And he saith, "I am not. Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I'm not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I coming, baptizing with water." And John bare record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove and abode upon him, and I knew him not. But he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." And again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." John understood who he was. John knew the power and the authority. He had a revelation of who he was. He understood the power and the authority that resided within him, and he knew what was transpiring. Even though he was drawing crowds, pulling people towards himself, he knew that there was coming a day when one was coming who was mightier than he was. Who was that? It was the Word made flesh. The Word made flesh. That's what we're celebrating right now. I don't know what you're celebrating. Brother Kendrick called the holiday season. Everybody's celebrating something different. I'm celebrating the Word made flesh and dwelling among us now. His Spirit indwelling in me. When he went away, he said, "Go to Jerusalem, tarry there until you be endued with power from on high." Yes, yes. And once they received that Spirit, they went out throughout the book of Acts, in Acts 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. All throughout the epistles. And begin to give way to the utterance of the Spirit. In Paul's life, in Peter's life, John. All of these men, Timothy, begin to give way to the utterance of the Spirit, the Word of God. Because of the Spirit that they had received, the things that had been imparted to them, they had a confidence and a surety that when they spoke the Word, the things that they spoke were going to transpire. When Peter and John walked past the lame man that day, I don't believe for one minute there was any doubt in their minds that the words that they spoke were going to come to pass. Why? They had a revelation of the Word in the beginning, the Word that was spoken in the beginning, the Word that was God, the Word was God, the Word was with God, and the fact that the Word was made flesh and had dwelt among them. There were they that testified of him. There were some who had not personally seen him. They only heard the stories that he had walked among them. "I haven't seen him. I've never met him. I've never shook his hand. I wish. Some days I wish I could trade lives with the disciples. Oh, to spend 3.5 years with them. But I read of the accounts. I read of the authority and the power which he imparted to them. Think about it. Think about the trip where he sent them on a wild goose chase for a donkey because he wanted to ride into Jerusalem. You're going to go here and here, and when you get there, you're going to find a colt tied. You're going to loose that colt, and you're going to bring it to me so I can ride him. And somebody's going to stop you and ask you, why are you taking my horse or donkey or colt or whatever that thing was? And you're going to tell him, I've got need of him. That's all you got to say. Simple. Just be obedient to the word. And they went and did it. And they come bringing that colt back. And then a couple days later, they're going into, I think it was Bethany. They're making a road trip. They're walking along with Jesus, and he sees a fig tree. He thinks he's going to get some figs. Doesn't get any figs. So he curses it. They go on into wherever they were going, Jerusalem or wherever. They come back out the next day. That tree's dead. Disciples are looking at each other going, hey, remember that yesterday? It was less than 24 hours ago. He cursed that thing, and look at it. There ain't a leaf left on it, and the branches are withering. Ain't nothing growed on that thing for years. He was modeling for them the spoken word, the power of the spoken word of God. He was imparting faith to them. And if you'll speak the things that I tell you to speak, it'll come to pass. Oh, some of you are looking at me like you're crazy, man. Others are looking at me with big smiles on their faces. Yeah, I've been there. It's a little bit uncomfortable, and sometimes it's a little bit awkward. But when I know the Lord has told me, I got to go stop that lady and tell her. The Lord told me to tell you. I know you don't know me. I know you've never met me. The Lord wanted me to tell you that I'm supposed to come pray for you. The power of the spoken word. Can we pray together right now? In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hikarobo sheki alala baha kaye. Hikarondo roba sheki alala baha kaye. Hilorobo sikarane alala bashondo robo koba. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Ikarondo Roma Shiki Alabakaye. Hirobo Romani Alabashia Roboko Baha. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.